The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. All that kind of thing.
Merry Christmas Eve.
We're going to be here today. We'll be here Thursday and Friday. Tomorrow.
We're off tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why Jason says today's a Friday.
It's kind of like a Friday. I like when we have off days in midweek. Although three-day weekends are very good, too.
You just like off days. Let's be real.
Well, who doesn't?
We all do.
Yeah.
I was sleeping on average.
I love them.
On average, during my vacay, I was sleeping till 8,
mm-hmm.
8:15.
Yeah, I mean, think about
sometimes
the difference.
I'd pop on
4-hour difference.
Pop on Monumental for a second and go, oh, they're the donks. They're
right.
Working.
I'm glad I'm not there. All right, click. Turn it off. Go back to sleep.
Go down and have breakfast. A couple days I did have to drive my kid into work. Right. But even then, I'm waking up at like 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people continue to wake up at the same time when they're off. That's not me. I don't have a problem.
No,
but you know,
no.
I stay up late. I watched during the 2 weeks I was off, I binged the entire series, The Madness, on Netflix. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a guy who basically is being set up, like framed for murder.
Right. Would I know any of the actors?
I think the guy was on The Walking Dead.
Okay.
African-American actor. I don't know his name.
Okay.
My wife and I watched a couple movies. We watched like the Blake Lively movie. That was kind of a...
Oh, the one where she's now suing the guy, the co-star, for sexual harassment?
I'm not even sure. I don't think that's the one.
What was the name of the Blake Lively movie? The one that's... The Rest Is Us?
Something
or?
Us. I think it's the director.
It Ends With Us?
It Ends With Us.
No, it's the co-star.
Oh, really?
He also directed it.
Okay.
So the co-star who she's involved with, the guy who's... It's about domestic violence, right?
Yeah.
Well, that guy, that actor, she's suing for sexual harassment.
Okay. Yeah, saw that. My wife loves Megan Fox. We watched that. That's a terrible movie, Subservience.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw Carry On, also Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad.
With Jason Bateman.
You know what it is? Yeah, you love Jason Bateman.
I like him. My wife saw it. She said
it's
good.
I would describe it as a poor man's Die Hard. You know how a lot of people argue, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Same type deal here. The Carry-On guy works as, you know, TSA, and then there's a crisis here, and he's got to save the day,
right?
And it's around Christmas. Okay. I think it's Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So it's not bad.
And Bateman plays the bad guy.
Jason Bateman's the bad
guy. I love Bateman. He's great.
He does. EB says this all the time. There are certain actors that seem like they're just playing themselves.
Yep.
He seems to be one of those guys where he's kind of
Playing the same guy, yeah.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Now here he's a sinister Jason Bateman.
Well, I just buy into it. He just seems like a, like in Ozark, he just seems like someone he'd want to hang out with. Now I gotta watch this movie, this Carry On. My wife saw it; she says it was good, but I'm gonna watch it.
I mean, it's definitely a movie.
It's a Netflix action movie.
Right. Like I couldn't.
You
see
don't
want
to go
theater.
Pay for it.
I feel like it'd be. I feel like I was ripped off if I was watching that in the movie theater.
Okay, all right,
but it's not bad. Passes the time.
This morning when I woke up, so Mike Maher, you would have been size because my oldest daughter who graduated from college, Virginia Tech, 2 years ago, 23, had some of her sorority sisters over to the house last night. and they just got dinner and, you know, had some wine.
Mike Marr definitely would have liked that.
Watched some movies.
That's his age group.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. A couple of them are really cute.
Yeah, man, you got my number.
And
hit me up.
It was a girl. It was a girl's thing. Yeah. But anyway, so they fell asleep in the living room watching movies. They fell asleep, and I came downstairs. I didn't know where they were because when I walked out of my bedroom, my oldest daughter's lights were on, so she wasn't in there. So I figured they were either in the basement.
You had to make sure your Pongy wasn't hanging out.
The Pongy wasn't hanging out. But I went downstairs, and I have a routine when I wake up. So, you know, I like to pour myself some water. I put on the computer to see what's going on. I turn on the TV, watch the news for a little bit. But I couldn't because they were all sleeping right there in the living room. So I had to be quiet. I like to go warm up
How
my
many?
Car. There was four of them.
Okay.
And so
are they sleeping on the floor?
No,
I mean,
couches.
How many couches do you have?
And an air mat. We brought an
okay,
air mattress.
You brought an air mattress.
Yeah. So I had to be quiet. I had to keep the lights off. And so
why wouldn't they do the bedrooms? Don't you have guest room?
Yeah, we do. But I guess they just, you know, they fell asleep watching movies and then they just turned it off. Didn't feel like going upstairs. Anyway, so my whole day was thrown off because of my my morning routine. I couldn't do what I usually do.
I know you talked
Mike
about
would have
this
been
at
sized.
One point. Would you be distraught if Mike Marr, like, let's say theoretically, Mike Marr dated your oldest?
My oldest?
Yeah.
Would I be distraught? No, Mike Marr's a good kid. I wouldn't be distraught. But, I mean, it would never happen.
Why wouldn't it happen?
Just because. They don't.
They might run in the same circles.
No, they don't. They don't run in the same circles.
Why? Your daughter lives in Arlington, doesn't she?
You know how many people live in Arlington?
Okay.
I mean, there's a billion people live in Arlington.
You don't think she goes out in Arlington?
She does go out in Arlington.
Okay. Well, isn't it possible that another guy who goes out in Arlington could run into your daughter?
I mean, it's possible, but there are so many people that live out there. I mean, it's not like they would ever cross paths. They don't know the same people.
Why? They might go to Don Tito's at the same time.
Dude, have you ever been to Don Tito's on a Friday night?
I get it.
There's freaking 5,000 people there.
They might hit Hyde Social at the same time.
Yeah. Anyway,
size for Hyde.
What is that?
I said I get size for Hyde.
Oh, you do?
But no, I mean, think of it. You could save my ass every year and take me to the 30-minute mass. We could all go together instead of going to the 3-hour one that I'll be at tonight.
You're good. You got your girl. You're just, you know, you're trying to rekindle that relationship.
Is he? You know what? You could talk about this on Friday after the holiday show.
Yep.
Me, Drab, and Marr sat down, and I didn't delve into it. I'm a don't ask, don't tell guy. Like, if you want to offer it, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know this kid's, like, heartbroken over something.
No, it wasn't heartbroken. It was kind of like we were kind of doing a bit, a little sad, but heartbroken's, like, kind of an aggressive word. But now I'm over it
already. It's not like they're not talking. He's still talking to her.
Oh, see, you delve into it.
Yeah, well, I spoke to him about it.
But now I'm just moving on. Got something else lined up Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Do you know just that he Snapchats, like, 100 people a day?
Dude, he loves it.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
He loves it.
You're not going to get to an elite level snapper by, you know, taking holidays off and, you know.
What's your deal on Saturday?
Just taking someone out. Just getting.
What's
her
deal? She live in Arlington?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like to give up too much information.
He doesn't want to talk too much about it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're good.
A little date night. So we wanted to get into a little Kirk Herbstreit. Audio here and talk a little bit about what happened over the weekend college football.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play Kirk's opinion on it and then we can dive into it. This is Kirk Herbstreit talking about the first weekend of the college football playoffs, which were pretty much a dud, 4 blowouts.
First round is now complete. All home teams won. They not only won, but they won by double digits. What is your biggest takeaway from this first weekend of the 12-team playoff?
That I hope next year the committee won't get caught up in what the social media and a lot of people who are fringe fans get caught up in, which is wins. They had 11 wins. They must be good. Who did they beat? I think is much more important than how many wins you have. That's old school way of approaching it. Has, you know, Indiana having 11 wins and beating nobody, that doesn't mean they're one of the 12 best teams. Remember, I know, Linda, I'm not taking this out on you, but there's a big difference between deserving and best.
Yeah.
What this is all about is giving us the best 12 teams. Now, subjective, how you want to figure out the best 12 is up to you, but that's what I want to see. I don't want to hear about wins. How many wins? Winning's obviously important, but just because you have 11 wins doesn't mean you're better than a team that maybe had a tougher road that had 9 wins. So I think we get too caught up in how many wins you have. It's really more about who are the best 12 teams, and we need to get the best 12 teams in this tournament every year.
It's a fantastic point, Kirk. Thanks for making it, and thanks for joining us on SportsCenter.
Look, I can see where he's coming from, but, you know, Tennessee also got blown out in the first round, and he's not arguing against Tennessee getting in the field. Tennessee looked like they shouldn't have been on the field against Ohio State. They were uncomfortable, not just with Ohio State's pressure, but they were uncomfortable with the weather, in my opinion, because Nico, their quarterback, is a California kid. He's never played in temperatures of 7 degrees. He looked like he didn't want to be out there. So, yeah, there were 4 blowouts, and I can understand why you'd rather have Ole Miss or Alabama or South Carolina or some team like that who had 3 losses.
But they're instead in a big conference. I mean, Indiana had 1 loss all
one
season.
Loss. Correct. And they were getting a lot of hype during the regular season. In fact, game day was out there for one of their games. Right. So, you know, I'm not sure what Kirk was saying about them when they were hosting game day.
They beat Michigan.
Now, Michigan's
down this year.
Sure, certainly.
But, like, what are you going to do? You get kind of spanked by Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
You beat Michigan. That's probably your best win. I mean, I'm looking at it. They didn't play any other ranked teams.
They didn't beat a top 25 team.
Whooped up on the Terps, whooped up on Northwestern, mm-hmm. Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, Purdue.
Yeah, they beat a bunch of bad teams, bad to average teams. They beat a lot of teams that didn't go to bowls. But this is what I would say. If Alabama wants to gripe about not getting in, don't lose to Oklahoma. Don't score 3 points against Oklahoma. That's embarrassing. Lane Kiffin, you don't want to be left out of the playoff? Don't lose to a bad Kentucky team who had 1 conference win. 1. And that was when they beat Ole Miss. All right, that's a bad loss. And by the way, if Lane Kiffin, they put Ole Miss in there and Ole Miss had to play at Penn State or had to play at Ohio State, I think they would have got drummed too, because I think the weather was certainly a factor for some of these warm weather schools. But just getting back to Indiana, I can see why people are griping about that. But they were getting a lot of hype during the regular season because of just the 1 loss. And then they did beat Michigan barely. And then they got pummeled by Ohio State, which is a much better team. I think next year they might switch things up. I don't know if they're going to give conference championship teams 1 through 4 byes. I think they're just going to seed them 1 through 12. There's no reason Ohio State should be playing Oregon in the quarterfinals.
Right.
Right. But I can see why some people have a problem with
Indiana. Some of these teams getting in, because the arguments that were being made were what I would consider the fringe teams, right? Like, should Miami be in lieu of some of these teams? Should mm-hmm. Alabama be in?
Mm-hmm.
But Alabama had 3 losses, right?
Correct.
And then Miami had 2 losses,
mm-hmm.
but they also had the miracle win against Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, correct.
I know their 2 losses were on the road against pretty good teams, only by a couple of points. But point is that those are like the fringe arguments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
look, if you're going to expand it to 16 teams,
there's no guarantee,
or 24, then those teams are all getting in. But when the committee has to go down and go, all right, what are the 12 most deserving teams to get in? I can see why they said Indiana, because they were in a power conference, even though they weren't playing a lot of those teams that the SEC was. And they only had the 1 loss.
They ended up only losing by 10. Now, I know a lot of that.
They were getting drummed. It was 27-3.
Yeah. A lot of that is, you know, window dressing.
Yeah.
They scored some later touchdowns. But there's no guarantee that if you'd put Alabama in or you put Miami in, they might have been drummed by Notre Dame as well.
Yeah. I think Alabama probably would have fared better. I'm not saying they would have won. But again, this committee has to decide the 12 best teams. And when these teams that lost 3 games were losing late, like Ole Miss did when they lost at Florida, like Alabama did when they lost to Oklahoma, they said, you know what, that's it. And those teams knew that if we lose another game, we're probably out. All right? So Lane Kiffin knew, we lose 3 games, we're probably out.
I wish Kirk would just be honest and say, I don't want these non-blue bloods in.
Yeah, he wants all the big-time powers in.
I mean, that's he's saying it without saying it. Like the Indianas of the world. If you get lucky in your schedule and some of these teams are down and you go 11-1,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not Indiana's fault that the teams that they're on their schedule suck.
But does he have a problem with the Boise State?
He shouldn't. They won their conference. But deep down, he does.
He wants to see all the Big Ten powers and all the SEC powers in.
Indiana's a Big Ten team, and they finished.
No, but they have no history. They're not a blue blood.
Correct.
There's no bloodline. It's not a sexy matchup.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crappy to go on after the team gets drummed like this and say, well, we told you this team sucked, and a blue blood like Alabama would have been a better game.
Look, I'm not arguing that Alabama might have fared better, and if not even win, but they didn't earn it in the regular season because you can't lose. It's one thing to lose a couple games in the conference to really power teams, to power conference teams, but you can't lose to Oklahoma. If you lose to Oklahoma and you get embarrassed 21-3 or 24-3, whatever it was, I'm sorry, you don't deserve to get in.
And you know what it sounds like too is
I wouldn't have put Alabama in over Indiana.
It sounds like the Kirks of the world, they value SEC wins a lot more than any other conference, and then they devalue SEC losses. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you lose to a Kentucky like your Ole Miss, or if you lose to Oklahoma like Alabama, that loss doesn't sting as much as if Miami loses to Virginia Tech.
Right.
Or Boston College.
I agree.
Syracuse.
And that's messed up.
Yeah.
That's just messed up.
I he didn't bring it. Did he mention a certain team that should have been in?
On game day after any Indiana loss, he said, I'm paraphrasing, he says, I would have loved to see what a Miami team with Cam Ward would have done in this situation.
Yeah.
He named Miami as a team that should have been in over Indiana.
Look, he's calling out Indiana.
First of all, Miami would have lost to Notre Dame. All right, I believe that 100%.
Well, they'd have given up more points.
Because their defense is terrible. Yes. But it's also a team that is not used to playing in cold temps, man. It affects these teams. Now, it didn't affect Indiana. They just weren't as good. Notre Dame is better. Right. Notre Dame is just better player for player. But Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. Okay? Vanderbilt was better than they usually are. You can't lose to Vanderbilt.
Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Kentucky's like only P4 win of the season.
Correct. They had one conference win. Bad loss. Sorry. You don't deserve to get in, Lane Kiffin.
And the bigger problem is that teams like Indiana, like Maryland, like Northwestern, even like Virginia Tech, this is the path that they need to make the college football playoff, where maybe they lose one game to a team that's out of their weight class, but they still rack up 11 wins. A mid-level team like Indiana needs this type of path to get to the college football playoff. And if you're just going to go take it away because they're not a blue blood or they're not in the SEC, just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the committee will do differently next year. I still think they're going to value records. They're also going to value schedules. If you have three or four losses, I'm sorry, you ain't getting in. I don't care if they're to conference teams. And the only thing I think they'll change next year is the seeding, because there's no way Boise State, in my opinion, should have a bye.
Yeah, like Boise State should have been playing Indiana.
Correct. And there's no way that Oregon should be playing Ohio State in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, or Arizona State should have been playing Boise State in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no problems with the team getting in, because I do like the possibility of a Cinderella story, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have Caputo on the show shortly, who's now at George Washington, but he was part of the George Mason Final Four run. I like, even though that doesn't happen very often, it's happening more in college basketball nowadays than back then, I like the possibility of an Indiana winning and stunning the world. Now they didn't, and then going on a run.
Yeah.
So I don't want to eliminate those teams from getting in, but you might be right on seeding it differently.
I would have
no problem. And look, they were seeded 10th. Indiana was seeded 10th, like out of these 12 teams, they were 10th. Clemson was 12th.
Yep.
And who am I missing? SMU was 11th.
And just,
there were no upsets. It was all home favorites.
No, and look, it's hard to go on the road to some of these schools and some of these environments and win. You know, I mean, SMU had no shot going into Penn State. They had just no shot. Indiana had no shot going to Notre Dame.
And we'll see.
Clemson. Texas was so much better in the trenches than Clemson, even though Clemson made it look a little... They, They were down 14 with the ball, first and goal at the 7, and went. They couldn't get in, so they could have cut the game to 7. But they weren't as good as Texas.
Right.
So some of these road teams, and I already talked about the Tennessee-Ohio State game, some of these road teams just had no shot at going on the road. That's how important it was to host the first round.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.